And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. Whew. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio. Thank you very much. And then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and live streaming the show every single day, looking inside the studios, even seeing what shirt we're wearing. Live streaming on places like Facebook and X and YouTube and Rumble and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you guys that podcast after the fact, we see all of you. We know where you are. We thank you. We appreciate you. The fact that you guys catch this show in a variety of ways means the world to us, and you're the reason why we do what we do. And I try to say it several times per show. So thank you very much. All right, listen, you heard my monologue a moment ago. Some of y'all can be texting in right now if you want to, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. January 6th, you may think, Phil, is that old news? It's really not. I mean, it's a very new news. There are still things right now. There are still people recovering their lives. The pardons were just issued by President Trump just in the last few months. And there's still, in my opinion, a lot to get sorted. And I think we're going to start seeing some measure of accountability. And we'll see. We'll see. But I thought it'd be interesting. I've never had anybody on my show who was there that day. So I want to bring somebody on right now. So David Robinson's here in studio right now. David hails from the Athens region. And David was actually there that day. Oh, by the way, David is actually now also assisting us with sales here at Right Side. But David Robson, welcome to the Right Side studio, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate being here.
Well, appreciate you being here. And so you were there on January 6, 2021.
I was. Me and my wife, we were both there.
Okay. This is fascinating. I mean, I have watched any number of stories on it. I've read things on it. I've spoken about it. I've never talked to somebody who was there. So I guess I just want to go from soup to nuts here and figure out, you know, what that was all like and then what your thoughts were after the fact. All right.
Sounds good.
Let's break it down. I mean, so you and your wife, how'd y'all wind up getting, I mean, did you look at it like 3 weeks in advance, said, let's plan a trip, honey, what do you want to do? And this is a big second honeymoon. I mean, what was this? Was this like a lark or was it a planned out event?
It was not planned at all. My wife actually pushed me to go.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. So we were living in Athens at the time.
All right.
We moved to Athens in June 2020. We actually moved because COVID shut down Maryland so bad.
Yeah.
It was beyond cabin fever. We got to go.
So you were from Maryland. Okay.
My wife's from Maryland.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm from all over because I'm an Army brat.
Gotcha.
So, but we were visiting family back in Maryland, where my wife's family is from, around Christmas time, and New Year's. And she saw that January 6th was happening. She saw the announcement. She saw the speech lineup of who was going to be speaking. And she's like, let's go. I mean, we're an hour away. We're outside of Annapolis. Let's go. And I'm like, I mean, you know, all this stuff going on in 2020 is really fresh.
Yeah, the summer of love, all the riots, everything.
Yes, exactly. I mean, do I want to take my wife somewhere that could be a riot and you get boxed in and you're not getting out? I mean, I know it's D.C., but still, it was really fresh. I mean, yeah. A lot went on in 2020.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. All right, so your wife has the idea, first of all, but then y'all just decide to get on a train, you drive in, what'd you do?
We took a train.
All right.
So I was thinking the traffic would be horrible. It would be rough getting in, getting out.
You're probably right.
So we took a train right outside of 495. First train. We were on the first train available. So we left really early. We was at the train station, and we took it to downtown D.C., which is probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles from the White House.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've done those stations many times. So you guys get in there. Was there a crowd? Like, were you riding? Was the train full of people wearing MAGA hats? I mean, what was the deal? Was there like a crowd already forming?
No, there wasn't. I don't remember that much of the train ride there. I don't think there was that many people on the train. Very few, maybe a few commuters. It was still COVID. So it was still lockdown procedures.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even really remember masks. I brought mine. I was more nervous about other people getting it. That's just my heart for other people. We didn't know it was still
right.
And in Maryland, it was so bad. It was still, it was, you know, it was a big topic. You know, we didn't want people falling out and dying.
So crowds weren't huge yet, but the crowds got big while you were there, though, right?
Yes, they did.
You got out there on the Washington Mall?
Yes. Yes, in between the Washington Monument and the White House, they had a stage set up in front of the White House in those two areas. We got there probably before 8 o'clock.
And oh, wow, you got there early.
We did.
What time did the speeches start? I don't even remember.
I'm not even sure. I think the first speech was maybe 10, 10:30.
Okay.
Something like that.
So how close to the stage were you?
100 yards, 200 yards.
I guess in a big event like that, that's not really far away. You're in a decent spot.
Correct. Yes.
All right. So line up of speakers, including President Trump, right?
Yes. President Trump was speaking. We got there really early. There wasn't as many people, but they were trickling in. There was a lot of people trickling in. The space that we had in front of the Washington Monument started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And there was a lot of people.
So let me ask you this. There's been a lot of talk, you know, on the left, and we'll unpack it more here in a minute, but there's been a lot of talk on the left about, you know, the angry mobs and the attempts to overthrow the government and all that. What was the mood of the crowd as you're standing there? Was it an angry crowd? Was it a crowd that was jazzed up? Was it a crowd that was just there to see what was going on? What'd you see?
It was a crowd. To me, it was one of the most patriotic events I've ever been to.
Okay,
I've been to the 8808 rally. I think it was the Tea Party rally.
Okay,
or it might have been a pro-life rally, and it was everybody there just to. For me, I was there to pray. I was there to pray, protest. We didn't agree with the vote, but the crowd was chanting USA. I jumped in with them. I mean, we're just there was massive flags, probably a rough estimate, 100-foot by 200-foot flag that we're 20, 30, 40, 50 people had to hold on to and going through the crowd, and people were making space for it was cheering on America. It was patriotic. We were there to honor our president, but also to protest that we didn't agree with what was going on.
Yeah, with the way the vote went down and all
Yes.
that. JP has got some pictures he's putting up on the screen right now, and you took these pictures too, am I right?
I did.
Yeah. And some of these are videos and all that. So, I mean, I see signs saying stop the steal, but was there anybody in there yelling down with the USA, let's overthrow the government? I mean, did you see any weapons? I mean, was it like that at all?
No, I didn't see any weapons. I saw a lot of riot gear. I saw quite a few bulletproof vests. A lot.
Really? Yes. People came suited up a little bit?
They came ready because they weren't sure what was going to happen as far as rioting, as far as the other riots that were going on that year.
Because of the way the BLM had been doing all that?
Yes.
So you don't think they were there, like, ready for their own riot? They were there in case things got ugly because of counter-protesters?
Exactly.
All right. At some point, did you get to know other people in the crowd that you didn't know before?
I did. Yes. There was a couple of people that were getting close to us. Ashley Babbitt was one of them. My uncle Dennis talked to her more. I've even got a video with her talking in the background. She's talking to him. He was a Navy man. He was on a couple of submarines during the Cold War.
Yeah.
But he was talking to her, and I talked with her for a little bit. I don't think I prayed with her, but I got to know her story, that she was from California. She was Air Force, and she said California was more red than the media makes it out to be.
It's amazing how much red is in California, but it's overwhelmed by these big cities like L.A. and Oakland and San Diego and all that. But so Ashley Babbitt, all right, we'll talk about her more in a minute, but she's one of the tragedies of the day, obviously. But before we get to that point, you're in this crowd, right? And this is the crowd that we've heard about, we've seen pictures of. Your pictures keep coming up on the screen periodically as we're talking for our live stream audience. Is there ever a time in there, in the crowd, where you personally felt threatened by the crowd? Was it scary to be there, or did you feel like you were among people of a like mind?
Not at the beginning. Before the speeches, I didn't. Other than just, hey, this could erupt at any point because of the past riots. But before the speeches, I didn't feel much tension or nervousness. It was more patriotic. Let's cheer. Let's, you know, hear, you know, USA, USA. But after the speeches and the herd moved to the Capitol building, that's where I started feeling a little bit more tension. And that was, there was a, you could hear a string of voices. Mike Pence didn't do it. Mike Pence didn't do it. Mike Pence didn't do it. And this was, I don't know the timing, maybe 11, 12 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah.
And then that's when it, it just felt a little.
You feel the tension in the crowd?
It felt different. And it was a little bit later on when nobody's cell phones were working. It was, they were shut off. They were, whatever they were using technology was shut off.
Wow.
So from the train to the White House, no cell phone signals. Gone for everyone. But when the tensions changed after everybody was saying that Mike Pence didn't, Vice President Mike Pence didn't do it, that
meaning certify the vote.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
He certified the vote. Yeah,
exactly. Everyone got a notification. Everybody's phone started going, alarms going off. And so nobody's phone is working. All of a sudden it goes off and it says the National Guard is coming in.
Who said that?
The alert. So it was a national alert. It was emergency alert. Whatever system they were using for to get to everybody's phone was the National Guard is coming in. It's time to disperse.
So I don't recall that. So at what point did you? I mean, were you already at the Capitol building when everybody got this notice on their phones that the National Guard's coming?
Yes, and that could have been after the first person went into the Capitol.
All right, so let me ask you this before we go to the break. You can see how radio flies by. I mean, we're talking, and I just looked over and realized it's almost time for a break already. Real quickly, before we go to the break, was there ever a time during the speeches where you felt like you were being told to go do something destructive or rioting at the did any of the speakers, including President Trump, did they ever say to you, get on down there and tear something up, get on down there and interrupt government? Did that ever happen?
No, not at all. It felt completely peaceful. Like, you know, we're going to stand up for what we believe in, and I would say a third of the people probably couldn't make it up the steps if they wanted to. They were disabled veterans. They were just there to, you know, support our president and say that we don't believe in the vote.
Wow. All right. This is fascinating to me. All right. We're taking a break right now. I've never had anybody sit here and tell me their firsthand experience of being there. So David Robinson's in studio with us right now. David Robinson was at January 6th. We're going to keep talking to him when we get back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're sitting back here in studio right now talking to David Robinson. He was there on the events of January 6th. He's a new member of the Right Side team. He's going to be doing sales with us. And we just got a chance to sit down together and just sort of go through all the details of what he's going to be doing with sales. But at the same time, you know, I learned as we're getting to know each other most recently that, oh, by the way, he was there January 6th. And I thought, well, by golly, I've been wanting to do a summary of that event because the pardons are still pretty fresh. And in my opinion, we're watching all the Russia collusion stuff fall apart. We're seeing all the other narratives coming out of the Biden administration era that obviously weren't grounded in truth and were designed in some ways to undermine or at the very least to weaponize. And I think, you know what? I don't think we're through hearing the end of, hopefully, the end of accountability for what was done to people because of the day of January 6th. Were there some things that happened that were wrong? Yes, there were. Was all 1,500 people deserving of having their lives upended? Was it worth turning the entire FBI inward on this whole case and setting aside investigations that were more prescient and timely and in need of attention? No. And I look at all of this and think, my gosh. And then the liberal media just beat us up for years over it. And then you had the whole Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney betrayal, leaving the Republicans behind to go ahead and join the Nancy Pelosi Jan 6 Commission. The whole thing was just a debacle. That being said, David Robinson's right here with me.
Yes, sir.
He was there. All right, so David, let me ask you. The speeches are concluded, and there's this sort of human wave of walking down the street. I mean, Was it like watching a zombie movie where they come running in a pack, or was it those people walking orderly down there? What was the deal?
They were walking orderly. It wasn't like I know I mentioned a herd. It wasn't like The Walking Dead or anything like that as far as a herd, but it was people helping people get there because there was a lot of disabled vets because I talked to a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of people in wheelchairs. You got a lot of people a lot of flags. And it was a peaceful walk from the Washington Monument, the White House, where everybody was gathered, to the Capitol building. And it was
Was there security? Did you see security? Like typically you would see the Capitol Police and the Park Police and others, you know, be out in a presence around the area, setting up barricades and, you know, wearing uniform. Were you seeing any of that anywhere? Was that just like gone?
Gone. I didn't hardly really see any security. Probably, I'm sure there was around President Trump's stage. I'm sure the security was huge there.
Secret Service at the very least, yeah.
Yes, exactly. But when I got off the train early that morning, I only saw two, maybe three guards at the Treasury. I mean, they're always there. But no police, zero police.
Wow.
And they know, because if you're tracking phones, you're tracking possibly a million people coming to D.C.
Yeah.
Around every, you know, every decision maker for the country, right there in one spot at one time, and you've got a million people, and there's no security presence for hours. I didn't see a single guard, except for at the Treasury.
Of course, the National Guard never showed up, but you got an alert. And who issued the alert? Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure.
Is it like an EMA kind of thing?
Yes, that's what it seemed like.
Wow. All right, so you guys, as in mass, are walking towards the U.S. Capitol from the mall. So you're walking from the Washington Monument straight down to the Capitol. And then how long was the walk for you, like getting there? What do you think?
20 minutes.
Okay, 20 minutes.
Something like, because there's a lot of people.
Oh, that's right. It's a lot of people in the length of the mall, too.
Yes.
All right, so you get down there to the Capitol building. And is that when the signal came through on your phones about National Guard?
No, it was probably about an hour later. We kind of settled down. We actually went through a barricade. I didn't realize it at the time because a large group of people had already gone through. But it looked like a barricade that was set up for the inauguration.
Okay.
So they were just making, it just looked like simple barricades.
It wasn't really slowing anybody down.
Exactly. No guards at it.
Oh, okay.
And maybe there was earlier when the first, you know, group of people got there. Maybe, you know, I don't know if they might've been 15 minutes ahead of me or five.
You see anybody getting rowdy?
No, nobody getting rowdy. But it was a few megaphones getting some people stirred up. There was definitely some horns, some masks. There was a group of people with the different gear that was there was actually a line of people walking through the crowd, and they were saying, "Follow us to go in." And this was after everyone was saying the vote wasn't certified by Vice President Mike Pence.
Okay.
So there was a line of guys. And ladies, and I don't know, but they
just
were marching.
Just in civilian clothes, just like, okay.
Well, civilian clothes and possibly riot gear, and there was definitely a guy with horns on his head.
Yeah, you saw the shaman.
Yes.
So there's some folks saying, "Come on, we're going inside. Going inside."
Exactly.
All right, that's a little that takes on a slightly different feel.
Yes.
What were you and your wife thinking at this point? I mean, were you looking at this going, "I don't know about this"?
I was looking at it like that. Yes. Yeah, so let's, you know, keep our distance so we can see what's going on, but let's get ready to get out of here, because if this crowd starts packing in and we can't get out, it could get really bad.
Well, we're going to take a break right now. We're already at another break. We're going to come back from this break. And here's the thing. He was there that day, but you did leave before things got into madness,
yes,
right? I say madness. It wasn't like total madness. There were a lot of people who walked around taking selfies inside the Capitol. But before people began going inside, you and your wife headed out. Am I right?
We did. Yep.
Yeah. All right. We'll take that when we get back. But we'll also talk about the aftermath. What's it like knowing that people everywhere are being hunted for a place that you were at? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. Having a fascinating conversation. I think it's fascinating. I hope some of y'all do too. I look back at January 6th and I think, good gosh, a day that has been like bandied about by the left as being like nearly the downfall of our entire country, like life as we knew it, like cats and dogs living together. I mean, it was chaos apparently, according to the left. And yet, were there things that happened that were wrong? Yes. But was it madness? Was it one of those things that should go down in infamy? Not to the extent that they made it out to be, in my opinion. And it certainly was not an insurrection, because there was no attempt to overthrow government. That's why nobody was charged with insurrection. That's the part of the kicker there. But I'm in studio right now with David Robinson. Let's spend just a couple more minutes here, David. And by the way, I got a question that I'll lead off with from one of the listeners, David at Bucky's. That's him. He's David at Bucky's.
Yes.
But David at Bucky's says, ask David Robinson, what was the purpose or the plan once they reached the Capitol? So you guys are leaving the speech area. You're walking the 20 minutes down to the Capitol building. What was everybody thinking was going to happen when they got there? I mean, what was the plan?
More speeches.
Okay.
So that, as far as I know, that was the plan. It would be more speeches and just have a peaceful protest of, you know.
Like stand there with the flags and
yes.
say we want it back.
Yes. Keep being patriotic and showing that we're here that we don't agree with the vote.
Okay. All right. And then you got there. And tension began to rise. You and I were talking off the air about what it feels like when you can feel the mood of a crowd begin to change.
Yes.
And you did feel the mood of the crowd begin to change.
I did. Vice President Mike Pence, when I kept hearing that over and over from
but people. He did not. He certified the vote. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't do it. That's what I heard. He didn't do it.
He didn't.
People were hoping that he would. He would. I don't know what that is.
He would not certify the vote.
Right.
Yeah, but he chose to.
Right.
All right. So that happened, and the mood of the crowd, the murmuring began.
Yes. Yes.
And then you said earlier you saw like a group of folks saying, "Follow us. We're going inside."
I did. All right.
Was Capitol Police anywhere around at this point?
Not at this point. There were a few you could see on the steps and around the border of the Capitol, and then maybe 15 minutes after I saw that line of people that were saying, let's go in. And they were pushing through the crowd. It felt like they were being a little bit more
aggressive,
exactly, than the rest of the crowd. And I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes later, so I saw the smoke grenade.
Oh, really?
Yes. And
was it tear gas or smoke? What was it?
I'm not sure. It wasn't close enough for me to tear up, but
yeah,
it was probably 200 yards away, probably a good 5-iron. that was also the, you know, maybe I need to, you know, watch my back with my wife here and get ready to go.
Okay. Didn't you say during the break too, flashbang grenades?
I thought so. I heard the noise and saw the smoke. So it could have been from the gas, or it could have been two different things. But it felt to me like they were trying to deter that line of people that was saying, "Let's go in."
I know you've told me already that you actually left at this pretty soon around this time. But at what point did you decide it's time to go? When did you look at your wife and say, "Honey, we're out of here"?
Or yes.
What's the story there?
I looked at my wife and my uncle and I was like, "Hey, do we need to go? Is this the cue?" And after we got that alert from the emergency system about the National Guard, I'm like, I want to make sure the trains don't get shut down, because if it gets bad, they're going to shut the trains down. And that was, you know, not that I wouldn't have minded camping out in D.C., you know, for a couple of days protesting, but I don't know if I want my wife there in the middle of all that chaos. If it would have transpired like the rest of the year, 2020.
Did you know anybody that went inside?
I met a father and his daughter. Somewhere out Midwest, I'm not sure what city, but we met at the train station before getting on, and she was a teenager and they were peaceful. I'm not sure why they went in, but it felt like they acted like it was their American right to go in, peacefully. I'm not sure if that's allowed during that day or if that makes sense.
The videos the news showed us over and over again were people, some of them were doing things that didn't need to be doing, pushing back on police officers, forcing their way through doors. And then yet later on, 2 years later, when Tucker Carlson got all of the footage, we saw a lot of people having the doors opened for them like the guy, the shaman, was actually being escorted around to different rooms. And it was just the weirdest dynamic to see the actual true videos and go, "Wait a minute, I thought everybody was violent."
Right.
They're walking around taking selfies and laughing.
Yeah.
And some of them are taking selfies with the guards.
Right, right. Peaceful protest.
So I guess, you know, one of my points in this is, were there people who did some things they didn't need to be doing? Yeah. And some of them probably did some things that they need to go to jail for. But by God, 1,500 people didn't.
No.
That's me not having been there, all right? All right, so you guys left, but I got to ask you, the word got out that the FBI, this was like priority number one. There was no other mission in life for the FBI at that point that seemed to take precedent over this. And I'm talking about every field office was being tasked for what we know. The January 6th Commission was stood up. They were talking about, they were checking cell phone records to see whose numbers were bouncing off of cell phone towers. We're finding out stories about people who were arrested who were merely present and didn't even go inside. One of the guys who was jailed who wasn't even there that day, but they believed he was an inciter of people who were. Inciter. That being said, did you ever have any concerns about the FBI coming and knocking on your door?
I did, multiple times. I try to be low-key as much as possible, but I didn't share anything really until today. As far as pictures and videos, this stuff that you're seeing, no one has seen other than if I showed them in person. But I was very low-key about showing anybody, even friends and family, because if I show somebody, maybe they're going to be, you know, tracked and traced and get their door knocked on by the FBI. I you know, I've got a family, three kids and a wife, and I want to provide for them and not be taken away for a year or years and leave them stranded. And yes, I was nervous multiple times, but they never contacted me, and I'm pretty sure I've got footage that no one's ever seen.
Well, that being said, you did find out later on that Ashley Babbitt was shot and killed that day.
Yes.
How was that, knowing that someone who you stood there and talked to was the only person who was actually killed on scene?
It broke my heart and made me feel grateful that we didn't go in, but it broke my heart. I mean, she was a serviceman and Air Force, and it didn't make any sense, but yes, she got riled up. I mean, she was at a protest, but to
was she armed?
Not that I know of, no.
Yeah.
I believe there was a lot of people there that was armed that could have used their weapons if they wanted to. I don't, you know, if I've been to a pro-life rally. I've been to the Tea Party rally, and I think I've seen a million people there. There was a million people there. And I would say half of them were carrying.
Yeah.
At this rally.
Like Second Amendment carrying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they were there, it was to protect themselves or protect the president. You know, it wasn't for, you know, to riot.
Did you ever know anybody who wound up being questioned or even jailed in the aftermath of January 6th?
No.
Nobody you've run across that said, like, yeah, man, the FBI came knocking on my door and make sure you stay low-key. I mean, nothing like that?
There's been a few. I've ran into more people recently because I've been a little bit more open about me being there. And so I have ran into a few that was there that day, maybe went inside. But I'm just now being, you know, I'm just now telling people about it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal to be able to just talk about it and be open about what's going on.
What are your thoughts? And we got about 2 or 3 minutes here, but what are your thoughts about, of course you've heard me talk about it already. I don't want to poison the well, so to speak. I imagine you've got your own thoughts about the way the January 6th Commission handled things, the way the media handled things. In your opinion, was the narrative that was being put out the same as the narrative you saw that day?
No, not even close.
Okay.
No.
How so?
It was a peaceful protest. There was, with that many people, they could have taken over whatever they wanted, honestly, if that's what their intentions were. Their intentions were to be there to support our country, to be patriotic, and to say we don't believe in the vote, the count, but not to instill violence. That was never, I never had that feeling there from everyone that I was around. Yeah, people were stirred up. There was guys climbing trees so they could get a better view of Trump or to hear better early in the morning before we went to the Capitol. But they were just boys. They were just stirred up and needed to do something because we were waiting. And they'd been there so early. But there was nothing that said, hey, we're going to go in here and create violence on the people that are making decisions for our country.
Yeah. Well, it's a narrative I hope never gets repeated.
Right.
I don't care which side. I don't care who's in charge. If somebody screws up and does something wrong, they deserve the accountability. And some of the ones who committed violent acts did not get pardons. And that's just going to be the way it is. But I hope we never see again the level weaponization of government against people who merely showed up. That to me was the egregious. The fact that you had to wait several years before you felt like you could even tell your story in public kind of says a lot. You know what I'm saying?
It does.
Well, David Robinson, man, it's been great to get a chance to hang out with you for a bit. Thank you for telling us your story. Thanks for letting us be the first one to hear it. Blessings on you and your family. Hey, go sell some ads for Right Side. How about that?
That's right. Let's get it done.
All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now, but text me in your thoughts, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. January 6th. What do you think? Pro or con? I'd love to hear it. David Robinson, thanks again, brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, David didn't leave yet. He's got a mission in life, and we got to help him fulfill this. David, there is somebody very important you need to talk to real quick. You're on the air, brother. Say it. What do you got?
Shout out to my wife, Elizabeth. She was there with me January 6th. She's a hard worker, a great mom, and she's the love of my life.
Well, there you go. All right, we just saved you from a world of whooping when you got home. And I got to ask you, though, while you're here, I got one question I meant to. JP even said during the break, oh, we should have asked him, and I meant to. There's a lot of talk about where they're, you know, for lack of a better term, were there feds in the crowd, were there plainclothes people in the crowd that were sort of in the mix and maybe even sort of helping incite people to move on down. Did you see anybody in the crowd you look at and go, Were there feds, is what I'm trying to say?
There was a couple of people that I was there. It seemed like they were on a job. They weren't there really for a protest. They were there working. They were just a little bit more conscientious of what was going on. Looking
heads
around
on a swivel, looking around.
Yes, and then probably inciting things. It just kind of seemed like, hey, they're, you know, all of a sudden this one person that wasn't saying anything or doing anything, now they're, you know, leading a line, or they're yelling, you know, let's – they're getting it going, getting riled up or something.
So some of the ones you thought were feds, you looked like they were leading people to the door?
Possibly.
Wow. There was that one guy we always hear about, Ray Epps. You see a lot of news stories about him. I don't know anything about him. I don't know whether he's a fed or not, but he had some crazy, suspicious behaviors. Did you ever see him in the crowd?
I might have.
I mean, a million people. I mean, did you see him?
JP mentioned his name earlier, and I don't know if I've seen much about him on, you know, on the news or kind of paid enough attention to it, but I might have seen him. He might be in some of my videos or photos. It depends on where he started or, you know, which door he went in. I don't know if everybody went into the door that I was looking at or, you know, the back door of the.
Well, have you been back to the Capitol since those days? Have you been back to D.C.?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think I have.
Well, it's to me, it's one of my favorite places.
Yes.
I mean, I really do believe that the U.S. Capitol is a special place.
Yes.
I mean, and the Capitol, not all of D.C. When I was at the Pentagon, I used to go for long walks and jogs around the mall area, and just think about how much this history is in this place.
Yes.
And how it's changed the world. At the same time, it is not a golden calf.
Right.
It's not. America is not the building. It's the notion of who we are. And it's the rights that we have in the Constitution. But that being said, D.C. is still a special place. Looking back on it, are you glad you went that day, or would you not go if you knew what you know now?
I'm glad I went because I didn't want anything else to steer my thoughts of that day.
Yeah.
As far as any media, any news coverage, I wanted it to be my own. And what I saw is what I saw, and there's nothing that can try to – you know, say, hey, it wasn't a million people. It was. Because we heard stories the next day that it was only 100,000. That's not even close.
Yeah. Well, you know, scripturally speaking, Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are told to quit talking in the name of Jesus. And their answer, Peter's answer was, I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard.
That's right.
And meaning, man has his own story. Nobody can take that away from him. And granted, that's about faith. But I think it applies to other things. You were there.
Yes.
You know what you saw. You know what you heard. And no one could take that away from you.
That's good. D.C. holds a special place. I spent many days and nights there just walking around praying. I believe there was a David's tent. It used to be there 24/7. Mm. And my wife actually sang there one night. She was invited to sing between 11 and 1 a.m. And I got outside, and I know the Secret Service could see me on the top. I started praying for. I know they were listening to me. So I started praying for them, and I was like, I know y'all can hear me. I bless you. You know, I know your jobs are hard, but I bless you and your family, and I pray protection over you.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Very cool. Well, David Robinson, man, thanks for coming in and sharing your thoughts and your personal experiences, and we appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you much. You're a good American. Thank you. All right, listen, I got a couple of text messages. I'll grab them real quick. I see Tom with all the kids is checking in, and he is saying, let's see, Tom with all the kids. By the way, David, Tom with all the kids has like, I don't know, 42 kids of his own?
17, I think, 17, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Tom with all the kids from Huntsville says, I was in D.C. that day, but only on my flight home from Afghanistan. All right. Thank you, Tom. Yellow Dog Mike is one of our great haters. Yellow Dog, he says, keep on listening, brother. One day you're going to come around. But he says, your justification for the J6 rioters is Orwellian propaganda. Thank you. Thank you very much, Yellow Dog. Thank you. You continue to be stuck in your narrative. It's okay, brother. You can come back to the light. And then Jerry from Decatur says, remember when Joe Biden said they don't know the facts from the truth? I nearly laughed my tail off. Hey, Joe, the facts are the truth. Typical Democrats trying to make something out of nothing as they did the January 6th airborne. Jerry, airborne all the way, man. Appreciate you. All right, folks, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.